Thanks again, Mr. Parton. And you probably have, if you've gotten your In Accord, probably recognize that now London, Kentucky is on the map, because we have an article about Mrs. Parton being baptized, so with an accompanying picture, which was the one that kind of held the article up a little bit. So I appreciate my mother-in-law, again, putting that together and getting that out there. They can go, oh, there's people in London, Kentucky. That's right, there are. So always some good news and really uplifting songs that I always enjoy. The Sabbath is just really a delight. Can't believe how many were on the road here today, though. Incredible traffic that we had, and it's not even the July 4th weekend yet. So I just have not seen that much. It was really pretty heavy today, and much needed rain. So we'll see what happens. The vegetables and everything's coming in. That's incredible to watch that. I'm just so surprised at how somebody can plant something and it comes up so fast. So we can enjoy the fruits of what God has given us to have and to enjoy throughout the summer. And to be thankful again for the nice weather that we've had, because not all the areas of this world, especially this nation, have experienced a very good weather. We've had a lot of bad weather that went up through the northeast, and of course some bad weather that was down in Texas for a while there too. Some droughts that are taking place. I believe that Lake Mead is at its lowest ever, which supplies, I believe, a lot of California with its water. So I kind of wonder how, where that's taking place, huh? With the agreement for same-sex marriage going through the entire state. It's really sad state of affairs that we're in, and it should help us to really take a look at where we're at in church history. Some people think, by the way, that maybe the rest of Acts will be written in the future. Wouldn't that be interesting to see, you know, what happened? We can see what happened, but how things have progressed since the beginning of Acts. And we continue to actually be and make a part of church history. It's so interesting to see in our lives how fast things have transpired. Because many here, I'd like to ask this, how many thought that Christ would be here by now? He raised a hand, so I see a lot of us did. You know, there were a lot of people that really were geared up to think that, but that really is not new news, because we'll be going through, actually doing a little Bible study today. I'll go through as many scriptures as I can through the book of Acts to show what the commission of the church and what the apostles proclaimed and how we're following that same example now, though maybe sometimes in different ways. Let me ask another question here. How many here did not grow up in the church? You were not born into the church. So we've got quite a few throughout the church that were not raised in the church. Now, there are a lot, obviously, because of our church history, our modern-day church history, of children that were born into the church. I was not born into the church. My children were. So we've got quite a lot of that today. But for those that were not born into the church, we are probably associated with some type of other organization, as I was for about 14 years. I was raised a Lutheran. Now, there are a couple things I can go back and remember from that I was taught about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I knew about that, but there were a lot of other things that went along with that. There were a lot of baggage that I had to sort through. So when we start out looking at Acts, I'm not actually going to start out in the Acts today. I would like to show some key scriptures to begin here on what Jesus Christ taught and what his instructions were to the disciples, and to show today what we're supposed to be doing and how you can actually be now more actively involved than ever before as members within God's church because of what is on the scene now, what we have access to, and how you can share the gospel message with a lot of people, just as I mentioned, just by going online and liking things. Please don't take that lightly, because there have been a lot of people that have done this and are actively involved, and that has extremely helped our website in being able to really be up there and being able to access that. I know Mr. Kylo tries to get out reports, and William Beach does that on the figures and numbers that are really been attracted to our website, that are downloading the material and are reading this material and that are responding to it. So there are ways that we've never had before how we're able to actually get measured responses on people coming to the sites. Before, you really didn't know. You know, it was very difficult to kind of track how many people were accessing that. But beginning here in Mark chapter 1 and beginning in verse 14. Mark 1 and verse 14. It says, "Now after John was put in prison," this is speaking of John the Baptist, "Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Now there's a lot in that statement. We've heard that before, haven't we? Preaching the gospel. What is that? Gospel, we broke down to the good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. But there's a lot more to it than that. That is a big term that talks about a lot of things when you're talking about the kingdom of God. And saying the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Now, if you took that scripture by itself, you would think basically what we came to believe when we were in the church. Many of us felt like Jesus Christ would return in our lifetime. It still is possible that that could be. But yet, when they looked at that, they thought it would be in their time as well. And we've had a lot of time expire, 2,000 years since this. I mean, the king, just like, we've got a timing problem here if you're saying the time is at hand. But what does that mean to you and I? Really, the time is at hand for us as fast as we see life going by and the preparation that needs to be done for those that are truly called. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is very quick, very quickly coming upon us. But the point was, since that is the nature of it, there's something else that needs to be done within this package. It says, repent and believe in the gospel. Now today, where you and I came from, I did not hear that, to my recollection, for 14 years, I cannot remember anything about repentance. I just can't recall that. And when I became associated with the true Church of God, that was a huge, major message. And if I wanted to become a part of God's church, I had to do that first. You had to do that first. And then you realize it's not a one-time gig. See, that's the false message of Christianity today, although it's been preached throughout the world. So interesting what God is doing, what He's done throughout church history. Do you know that message of Jesus Christ being proclaimed was something very important for the disciples to do, because in their part of church history, a lot of people didn't know about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In fact, there were a lot of lies being put out there that it really didn't happen. So it was a major focus of what they were doing then. Today, it's not such a major focus for us, even though it's an important part of the message. It's not that major focus like the disciples had, because most people in the professing Christian nations already know about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They need to know about the rest of that message and the part about that sacrifice of Christ that's not true. The part that says that's all you have to do is know that and accept that fact and you'll be okay. We understand that that's not true. That's the part of the message that we're saying, by the way, that's not a true part of that message. Part of that, Jesus Christ, do you read this? Do you see what it says? He said, repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of what? Well, the gospel of the kingdom of God, which includes everything that Christ spoke about. So that's why it's important that we look at the entirety of the Bible, because people get tunnel vision on certain parts and they forget to read the rest of it. There was a part, there was a certain number of people, by the way, that believed that Herbert Armstrong fulfilled the Elijah, and therefore there's nothing else to do. That he says he will restore all things. Did he restore all things? Who did restore it? As I look around me today, there's a lot of restoration that needs to be done. So unless we take the entirety of the scriptures, we're seeing that that's not been done yet. And actually, we can access the scripture in Matthew 17 and take a look at this. In Matthew 17, there was an Elijah. There was Elijah prophesied to come? Jesus himself spoke about this. Who was it? Matthew 17. Beginning in verse 10, his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Elijah truly is coming." Well, obviously, that does not refer to the original Elijah, does it? So who is this? Now, for those of you that have a New King James Version, this word was added in there. It was not in the New Unabridged. Because he said, "Then why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Verse 11, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Elijah truly is coming and will restore all things." Who could that be referring to? It couldn't be referring to John the Baptist. Now, he refers to him in verse 12. It says, "But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished." And what did they do to him? They cut his head off. Now, there were certain pieces of that message of which John the Baptist fulfilled, but he didn't restore all things. Herbert Armstrong didn't restore all things, although he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He wasn't that one. Who was it? Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. We're going to see in Scripture that it's Jesus Christ that's going to have the, if you want to call it, the final ultimatum with the Elijah. The one that will restore all things. Accompanying Scripture would be Acts chapter 3, which talks about the restoration of all things. All things have not been restored yet. That's why we're doing what we're doing. This is a process. See, the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. That's the one that was the Elijah there, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. The angels said he would do that. There's not a book written about John the Baptist. Here's the greatest man that ever lived, as was prophesied. There was no one that ever lived that was greater except for Jesus Christ. Why so little said about him? There's just not a book written about John the Baptist. But he did more than just a few baptisms here and there. He did a powerful work. And that's what the angel said to the mother and father. So we've got to take a look at the totality of what the Bible says when it comes to what Jesus Christ not only taught his disciples, but what he wants us to do today. In Acts chapter 1 now, let's begin here. And we'll go through as many of these chapters as possible. Because there's quite a few scriptures here when we go through Acts that talk about this church history. In Acts 1 verse 8, here's part of these instructions that Christ taught to his disciples. He said in verse 8, "But you will receive power, and after that Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." One thing we don't have, again, as we saw that the disciples had specific responsibilities to go out and to witness what they had seen, it's very difficult sometimes to track all of what they had done. Some we can find some history about where some of them have gone. But just Acts cuts off in church history and doesn't show us the rest of really what took place. In Acts chapter 1 verse 3, it says, "To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." See, that's why we go back to that time when he was on the stake. And remember he said, "It's finished." See, and that's the philosophy that so many take today. That's all you have to do is look at that so-called cross, and it's done. It's finished. It is not. That's why he said this. He said, "Now you've got a work to do on proclaiming this gospel message to as many as God will open up the door to." And we understand, again, putting those scriptures together, many are called, few are chosen. There's not a lot that accept that message, is there? But it doesn't mean that we lay down and go, "Well, it's just not getting out there, so I think we'll cut back." No, we're ramping up as the time comes. and asking for the same things that Christ gave to his disciples. Now, giving that and seeing what Christ taught there, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, there's a lot of things that we can talk about that pertains to the kingdom of God. And I know when, for instance, when some don't remember this, but when Mr. Armstrong went to see a lot of different kings, whether it was King Hussein or, you know, so many different world leaders, there are things that he did not talk about when it came to things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For example, he did not go to Egyptian's leader, you know, when he, remember when he saw Anwar Sadat. You know, he did not go to Sadat and talk about clean and unclean food, did he? But that pertains to the kingdom of God. He had the wisdom to connect with a world leader on things that he could understand. And a lot of that was government, wasn't it? Remember, he would talk to these leaders about something that would be coming into the future. They could grab onto that, but they would think he was a nutcase if he brought to them clean and unclean food and other things. He just did not do that. We preach a gospel message that contains the whole package today, not just one thing. In Acts chapter 2, now again, we just get pieces here, so we've got to put a lot of this together. Just get small parts in what happened in church history. We hear them speaking in our own tongues, what? The wonderful works of God. So here we see a miracle, not only of people being able to speak in other languages and then hear it in their own tongues, but there was substance to it. There was speaking about the wonderful works of God. In verse 14, a prophecy about the time being fulfilled and the kingdom of God at hand, what it meant and how to understand the interpretation, the prophecies of old and Christ representing the kingdom of God. So this is Peter speaking about what was prophesied in and spoken by the prophet, the prophecy of Joel, throughout this entirety of what would be happening. Now this prophecy obviously was partially fulfilled here, in speaking these tongues. Now you go to verse 36, chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So Peter spoke to them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why is that message not going out with all the other professing Christian religions that is out there? It's just a message about Jesus Christ. Here you and I can see that so clearly. But more importantly, can we really see what God wants for you and us? Not just abide our time throughout the week. You know, when Christ said, you know, we've got all these physical things that are on our plate, don't we? Just in survival, and us being so blessed in this country, you know, so much more less than everyone else, but we still see the weeks going by so quick, and we have to do stuff all the time, don't we? It's always things and stuff. A lot of online things, a lot of paperwork, bills to pay, cars to fix. And yet Christ sent a message specifically to us that said, by the way, God knows about all these other things that you have to do. What's most important on your mind? No, not those just out at Allen, Texas, or those that are putting together all this. What's on your mind? See, there's a lot of goals that they've set out there for themselves to do as a part of their work out there that they get paid for by your tithes and offerings. And a lot that they're doing. So when you go on and say, well, what are they doing? They're certainly not sitting down on their hands, not doing anything. They're doing a lot to provide this message of the gospel and also to help prepare the people. What are we doing with our time? What's most important to us? That's the question that Christ asked for his church in modern day history today. What are we doing? It continues here, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's another part of what we're dealing with here now. And again, it's so in our face today, you can't help but see it so clearly. Because the sins of this nation are being so much pushed into our face, how can you not see it that clearly? And how many times do we really, as reacting Christians, when you say this, and I feel like this so much more, I think I've asked this question to you before, but how many feel that this is your country anymore? Remember, we used to have a song, "This is my country, land that I love." You know, it's a deep felt sadness that I hope that we all feel within ourselves to see the direction that this nation is going, and that it better repent, and that God will help us to preach that message, even though it may not be listened to. There are lessons from the past history that show nations did change and repent, did they? It doesn't look good for this country, but that doesn't stop us from preaching that message of repentance to not only this nation, but throughout the entire world. Acts chapter 4, we'll skip ahead a couple chapters and then come back to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 4 here. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that they, with all boldness, that they may speak your word. Now, I've heard some in the past mention, maybe you've heard it, maybe you said it. You know, I think we need to be more powerful in our approach. I think we need to be more, you know, this and that and this, whatever you may be thinking. This is what we're asking God for. Help us to preach that message with boldness that all may see. Back to Acts chapter 3 and verse 13. This is very interesting and remarkable in how this sermon continually emphasized the four elements of Mark chapter 1. You know, Christ spoke in those four elements back in Mark where the time is fulfilled, it's at hand. There was a sense of urgency of which Christ was trying to instill at that time. Because if you get to the point where you think, well, you know, he's probably not coming, we can kind of dawdle, it's the same thing that can happen in our lives. And there are many to this day that think about, in fact, we've got to preach that message boldly to our younger ones, to say, by the way, you know, don't get the thought in, which we've probably all had before, that, well, you know, I can kind of wait on this because I want to, quote, sow my wild oats a little bit. I want to experience a bit of life out there. When Christ spoke and said, save yourselves from this, you don't even want to go there. See, that's the message of a parent and a grandparent to his kids and to the grandchildren. You don't want to go there. Don't think that it's going to go on forever. You know, we need to also broadcast that sense of urgency to our children and grandchildren as well. He said, the time is fulfilled. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. This is a, you would call it a one-time offer to you and I, which all here have accepted. We saw that. We see what God has given to us, not only for now, but also in the future. So that was a part of it. The third part was repent. And the fourth part was believe in the gospel. Believe in what God has done, that we can read throughout the Bible and the pages of history, and believe what he's going to be doing. Again, we focus in on that. You know, what a great thing to look forward to. You know, let's let summer go through. Hopefully all the summer camps will be uplifting and rewarding and positive for all of our children. Then we get on to these festival holy days, which we all get excited before because it's a time where God will put us to use with all the training that he's given to us. This is what he's doing for us now. He's training us and teaching us for a specific purpose that we can give and help to other people. We've got that opportunity to do that even right now with this gospel message that's going throughout the world. Church history said it was done then. It says it's being done now. It doesn't stop ever. So here in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just. So there was a denial then, just as there is a denial now. Because once again, within that package, people can accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but then when they don't do the rest of what he said, they're denying him as well. They don't even realize it. Because you've got to believe what he said, not just believe that he existed or what he did. That's the false statement that's out there today. You asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life. Look at the witness here. Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. That's part of that message that they did then. Because not everybody knew about that. That was a message that went throughout. Oh, if you were around Jerusalem at the time and you saw what happened, but don't forget there was a massive cover-up at the time stating it never happened. The whole band of Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. And they were Jewish. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So we see that part that was given back in the earlier parts of church history. That the prophets were given something that they had to do. And it was written to say, by the way, and how many prophecies referred to this time of what would happen and exactly what they said took place. That's a powerful witness right there. But it goes beyond that. We see that. We know that of what took place, of what they said. We go back there during the Passover and refer to those scriptures in Isaiah that talks about how he would be beaten beyond recognition. And that occurred. So he brings it back way far into church history. So now he brings it up to date. He says, now because of that was done, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. See, once again, how people will get so tunnel visioned by looking at one scripture and not take all of the scriptures into account. You know, there was a message, a false message, that was preached within our organization years ago. Not this specific corporate organization, but the major one which most of us departed from. That, hey, the kingdom of God is here now. How'd you respond to that? The kingdom is here now? Where in the world did you get that one from? If it's here now, a lot of people would say, I don't want any part of it. Rightly so. It's not here now. And if you looked at this scripture, if they looked at this scripture, they would say, hey, all things are not restored now. But they will be. Because it says, the heavens, there was a part of God's plan here, which is included within this gospel of the kingdom. You see how large this package is that we're preaching? It's just not one thing or another thing. It's the entire package. Whom the heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things. So we know he had to return to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could be sent as a part of the plan which God had spoken by the mouth of all of his prophets since the world began. Since the world began. So now we can see history goes back to the very beginning. And yet, you don't see it written in the book of Genesis, do you? You don't see Christ walking with Adam and Eve in the garden and talking with them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Do you think he did that? I would say he did since the world began. They had to see, they had to be given something about what was going to be taking place. But it doesn't say it. Do you believe it? Goes all the way back. You can see again a pattern throughout church history of what God did, revealing that plan. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet from like me, from your brother, and him you shall hear in all things. Whatever he says to you, and it will be that every soul who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, and as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all of the families of the earth will be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. This was a part of that plan of which they were witnessing to, things that were took place in their time. We're now proclaiming the things that are taking place in our time as well. Now, it's so interesting because they didn't have to preach a message, did they, of repentance from online pornography. Because they didn't have it then. That's part of our message of repentance that we teach now. Don't do that. Don't go there. Again, a part, an important part, seeing how many people it's been taking down. Acts chapter 4, verse 2. Acts 4, verse 2. But being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, if that's all you took, and we know, again, we've got to take the abundance of the Scriptures, but if that's all you took, that's all you would think that you have to do. But it's not. But it was a part of their message. It's something that they were sent to do. But it wasn't all that they did. Verse 33 of Acts 4 says, with great power gave the apostles the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was upon them all. Let's jump ahead here to Acts chapter 20, verse 24, that kind of accompanies this here. Acts 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, once again, if you just take that scripture by itself, you hear a lot about grace. We've heard a lot sung about grace, and many people don't even understand what it really is. That's the lie that Satan has tried to deceive people with for years. Oh, it's just the grace. It's just receive God's grace, receive His favor, and you don't have to do anything. They just don't read the rest of church history and what we're doing now. So he was testifying of that gospel, but it was more than just the message about the death and even the resurrection of Christ. It was about his entire life and what he said to do. Back to Acts chapter 5. Let's go through chapter 5 now. Chapter 5, verse 29. Again, things pertaining to the commission here, which God gave to his apostles. Acts 5, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, to whom God has given those who obey him. See the package that you've got there. Because when you look later on, it wasn't just repentance to Israel. Now repentance was given to the Gentiles as well, to the entirety of the world. So there was a change there now in church history, wasn't there? And so how could we think that there's no transformation being taking place now? If we stick in the past, if we think that's all that was given to do, we did that, now that's changed and we don't do that anymore. We not only do that, but we do more. And I hope we can see that we're trying to do more. So you've got what took place, Christ going up and sits at the right hand of his Father. I also see a scripture that I remember, and don't forget, Revelation wasn't written at this time. So they didn't talk about Revelation. They talked about future things, but not about the visions that John had. So that obviously wasn't important enough at that time for God to have it included in what they preached as the gospel of the kingdom of God. That came a little bit later. But you see how what God did in putting together this Bible so we can have the totality of what we have now in a total different time. So you think what we have to do now is different from the apostles? In a way, yes. We have a little bit more. I wouldn't say a little bit, I'd say a lot. Because we see that Christ sits at the right hand of God, and when you see that message that was given by God through Jesus Christ to the angels who gave it to John, who gave it to the churches, he said, guess what? If you overcome, you will sit on my right hand as I sit on my Father's right hand. That to me is pretty exciting when you see the gospel message. Because what God said would happen with Jesus Christ sitting at his right hand happened. It's a testimony for us today that when God says something and he says it's going to happen, it will happen. We just have to be a part of that plan and overcome. Do you want to sit at the right hand of Christ? I sure would. What's that going to be like? We don't know in totality. Because it doesn't go down into detail, but I do know he said it. And if he said it, I believe it. And that's part of that message is in belief. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 5. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. Once again, in part of their time there, they were teaching people that this was the man who came along. The man that you heard of, maybe at that time, he was known as the carpenter's son. And word went around because, hey, this was just that lowly carpenter's son. Just a carpenter. That's all he was. No, they were saying, this was the real thing that came and fulfilled this. That was an important part of their gospel message at the time. Acts chapter 8. Look how many times how important this was. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Verse 4 and 5. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. There are people that didn't hear about that. That was a part of their commission. But you know something? What part of that do you think that included? Do you think it included the message that's being out today? Just preach Christ? And there was a lot more to it when you really look at what happened, wasn't there? You know, a lot of people that were called wanted to know more. What do I do? What am I supposed to do? When they heard that message, the response back from people like Cornelius and the others, what am I supposed to do? Well, just understand that he died. That's not all that was given. We do that same message today. That's why we come out with things such as clean and unclean food. It's not our symbol or our ensign. You know, we don't have that as a part of our symbols as, you know, I don't know how we would even do it. Do we put a pig on our symbol with a line crossed through it? You know, it's a part of the message, isn't it, that we preach. All those things contain in what the Word of God says. So when we see words like this, we know it was a lot more. The foundation was there. Part of that plan was there that begins our holy day season through the Passover, but it didn't stop there. Acts chapter 9. Looks like I'm going to have to turn this into a two-part. Because we're only at Acts 9. This is the history of God's church. Leading up to what we're doing today. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. The Lord said to him, "For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." You think this man had his work cut out for him? But you know, he wasn't just sent out. He was sent out with the gift and strength of God's Holy Spirit as well. And I hope that we can see it within the Church of God today. We're still amazed at just having, if you want to call it, humble beginnings in 2011. I know this still amazes Mr. Franks as he talks about it a lot. And it is amazing. We're blown away by what's happening. We're blown away by the success of our camp programs in just 3 years. But you know, we had a basis, didn't we? You know, and the Church of God had a basis. It's got a basis right here. We know the elements. We just try to get better at what we teach and how we teach it. And we've got different mediums today that we use that they didn't have back then. But it's the same. It's the exact same message that they preached then. Acts 9, verse 20. So we'll just finish here through Acts 9. And then we'll have to remember to pick it up in chapter 10. Acts 9, verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Ah, so there was more than just he died on a stake. That, wait, now this one came from the Father. Because, see, even to this day you get people that argue that there is either just one God, or that there is three gods, or three in one, or what is it? What is it? What's a significant part of the message that we teach and proclaim today? That you can see throughout Scripture all the time. And I still, you know what, a memory Scripture? If people talk to you about the Trinity aspect of the nature of God, just go to any of the letters. Pick one out, the letters of Paul. Pick one out and go to the introduction. He says, "Grace be and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus Christ." He slams the Holy Spirit because he doesn't even mention it. You know, think about that. As you go through all the elements of Scripture and you see the Father and Jesus Christ, God has given us the understanding of who He is. How many understand that? Very few, do they? But it was a part of what they taught. He is the Son. Do you think they understood what the Holy Spirit was? Do you think when they were gathered together in that room and the Holy Spirit that came upon, it says it came upon them like a dove, that there were, what, how many doves? Or how many people? What do you mean it's a person? They understood it was the very power of God. That's the message that they included within what they taught. Christ himself taught that. That there would be a comforter that had to come. He taught that to his disciples. It was part of that kingdom of God message that was all-inclusive. Last one here in verse 22. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. So once again, we can see throughout church history a part of the proclamation of which the disciples did, how they were, that was their life. That was their life. Ultimately, when you bring it up to our time, is that our life as well? So on this Sabbath day, let's refocus what part that we're playing in. Because if you're asking, well, what do I do? Well, I did those things. I repented. Yes, it's a continuing part of the process of a Christian. But don't lay that, the rest of it, on and looking through and going, well, you know, we don't, they're all doing that out there. What part can you have to play? Get on that website and get involved with that, so that the gospel can be preached more powerfully. How is it increased more powerfully? Yes, through the help of God, but he uses us as human instruments. So if we're down at number 10, by us getting more involved, we can gravitate up to number 2. Is it a numbers game? And Google, yes it is. But see, when people click on the Ten Commandments or a certain aspect, there is that message, and it's a message of truth that we can spread to everyone else, that God can look at us and go, you know something? We don't have to do magazines now like we did in the past, but we can sure get on the website and access the information and do our part in being able to preach the gospel. It's a small part and a pretty easy part when you think about it of what we're given to do. But it's a very powerful message that we send out. So let's continue to do that. I'll start at Acts 10 next time and go through exactly how God worked throughout the church and what he did to use his church and his people in proclaiming that gospel of the kingdom.